Welcome to Your Edge podcast. I'm Larry Manzata, a channel account manager here at Zebra, and I've asked Yeshiva Flores from Zebra, as well as Bill Erdely, a senior solutions architect from Kerber Supply Chain Consulting, to join me today because we want to talk a little bit about what's happening around the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, commonly known as DSCSA. I suspect you're putting new technology systems or processes in place to comply with the forthcoming regulation. And given the tight timeline, you might only be committing to a minimally viable product to hit that compliance date. However, we're sort of at a crossroads in the healthcare space right now, and in that you can use this forced change to gain operational efficiencies that have long been missing. And this is true whether you're a drug manufacturer, pharmaceutical distributor, or healthcare provider. If you're having to track and trace every drug produced, distributed, and administered, and verify its authenticity and quality at multiple touch points, there's a lot to be learned in the data that will be collected during those processes. That's assuming that you have the right data collection and analysis systems in place, and this doesn't become a burden on your team. So I thought Yeshiva and Bill could lend their expertise here, since they both have extensive backgrounds in the healthcare space in various roles and have seen both the power of technology and the missed opportunities for operational improvements in working with healthcare organizations. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks
for having us.
Awesome. So Yeshiva, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your healthcare and consultant technology background.
Thanks. I'm happy to elaborate further on my background. I have about 25 years of healthcare experience. I kind of have a very colored background. I kind of started off my career on the operations end of healthcare, working within a medical staff office at a large academic medical center. And my focus in the medical staff office was to ensure that our physicians as well as allied health staff were all compliant with the regulations of working within the walls of the hospital as well as working alongside patients. I pivoted into a sales role about 10 years ago with mainly a concentration in clinical research, working directly along pharmaceutical clients. And within that role, I did a lot of working alongside them with ensuring that they were compliant with their regulations as well. As you are aware, not just with the DSCSA Act, now there's all of these compliance and assurances that one has to be mindful of when working with the FDA, rules and regulations being sent down by the NIH, and all of these kind of bodies and forces outside of the healthcare agencies that you just have to keep in mind.
Awesome, awesome. And Bill, what about you?
Thanks, Larry. So I have over 25 years of experience in supply chain, the supply chain industry. I started off as a systems analyst working with warehouse management systems. And over the years, I've worked with WCS, warehouse control systems, lots of different integrations to MHE and various ERP systems. Also have worked with implementing transportation parcel type systems over the years. And out of that, I started working with pharmaceutical companies shortly after, starting my career, and started to learn the ins and outs of their industry, some of the challenges that they have with their products. Obviously, being heavily lot controlled, not only that from a security standpoint, but also understanding, expiration date tracking, FIFO, FIFO, all of those things that go into it. And with that, once these regulations started coming into place and DSCSA became a regulation that they needed to follow, I worked with those customers to take the knowledge and what we had been doing previously in distribution, and then starting to figure out how to implement the regulations, make changes to their business processes and their systems. And, that started about 12 years ago. And in that time frame, obviously, the regulations have changed, businesses have changed, So we've kind of had to adapt and come up with new ways to utilize technologies to not only make their business processes work efficiently, but also to meet the regulations, make sure we're doing the verifications, getting the data and doing those data exchanges with their business partners that they're required to do.
Awesome, great stuff. So each of you have been in these environments, you consulted for organizations and are trying to use legacy solutions to meet modern regulation requirements and safety standards. What liabilities have you seen companies assume by trying to retrofit systems that were meant for these purposes, were not meant for these purposes necessarily, or maybe weren't properly integrated with modern systems to create a well-oiled solution? And Shiva, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I would say that the main biggest misstep I've seen in this area is just an overall loss of time. You know, trying to conform some of these antiquated systems, such as going from a paper-based system and paper-based operations to then meet new compliance strategies, whether it be tracking and tracing or any type of electronic implementation, there's an overall loss of time. With that comes just a domino effect that happens subsequently once the time is lost. It's then how do we then get this time back? And as we know, living in this environment, there's really no real way to get the time back. You have to sort of pivot or look for an alternative effort in which you can go ahead and step in and reverse the issue. What I've found is that, you know, relying on one strategy, one type of strategy solution without having any fail-safe in place is really kind of not just a guarantee for failure, but with that guarantee for failure and the loss of time, it's just the dollars begin to mount up. And I think that's one thing that's not really... it's continuing to be a problem, I would say, within the pharmaceutical sector currently. It's just there always seems to be this kind of short-term strategy thinking rather than a solution that fits us long-term and a strategy that's really looking to be not just compliant with the regulations, but also how do we kind of marry those solutions with what we're doing operationally and ensure that we're effective for a longer period of time.
Bill, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree a lot with what Machiva had to say there. I think the biggest, in terms of liabilities, I think that the companies and organizations that haven't embraced it and don't look to, you know, they fear the change, right? So the biggest thing is the organizations who have embraced it and figured out how to integrate what they need to do from a serialization standpoint and to be able to get that serialized inventory data into the format that they need to then transfer their business partners. The ones that looked at it as like, well, we have to do this. So we're just going to implement a system. It's not going to be integrated. Now what they're doing is right. The law was not meant to save you labor costs. In fact, what's happening is it's going to increase your labor costs, right? So if you're implementing a system that's not integrated into your business processes or your existing systems, now you're doing double transactions, right? Now you're having to maintain data in two systems. So the liabilities there are is now, what does that do to my data integrity, right? I don't, if I'm not matching up my data, or if I can't visualize and see that data in one system, now I have multiple systems, double entry, people are making mistakes, and that is going to affect the accuracy of and the integrity of the data that the FDA is asking us to transport, you know, from one business partner to another. So I think that's a big liability. Also, I think the ones who just don't embrace the change and realize that there's actually opportunities here, right? The whole point of serialization, if you look at it, it's really about data integrity, safety of the product. And if you embrace that and find ways to then it will actually potentially increase your accuracy in your business processes with your software systems, if you allow it to. And I think that's the biggest thing that people have struggled with. And then, you know, I think obviously, as we'll probably discuss here a little further, there's always a cost component and a change component that goes into it. But I think from a liability standpoint, it really is, if you haven't taken the time to integrate your systems, work it into your business processes, now you've got this whole separate thing that can cause you and add more risk to what you're trying to do within your business.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So as you're working with those in the healthcare supply chain, either to come up with DSCSA compliant solutions or otherwise to solve business problems, are you seeing a lot of effort being made to automate data collection and analysis as it pertains to product inspection, track and trace, and so on? Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And the reality is I think that we're seeing both with our customers. A lot of our customers, the ones who already were automated to a certain degree, I think they are the ones who really embraced it and have even gone further to find technologies and to automate their processes even more. But I think if you look at it, is there's what is the nature of their business? Customers that have a high amount of serialized inventories that are doing high volumes of movement of product, they're the ones that are going to want to automate. If they're doing a lot of full case and full pallet shipments, it's just easier, right, to implement automation to be able to handle that. And it's going to make everything more streamlined and more efficient. But there are businesses that do lower volumes, or they're doing a lot of less than case quantities, right? So when you're handling smaller quantities in eaches and you've got to pack them into cartons or into coolers, if it's cold chain product, then what happens is now you're adding more labor component. So I think what then, in terms of, are we automating using technologies, or can we make changes to our software systems to better control and interact with the users so that they're making better decisions and they're doing more things to ensure the accuracy and integrity of that serialized inventory, getting the data they need, doing the verifications, proper things to make sure that everything is correct. And I think that's what we're seeing in terms of, you know, how customers have embraced that and automation versus software solutioning, you know, and how that impacts the track and trace and what they're trying to accomplish with these regulations.
Awesome. Awesome. Mishiba, what are you saying?
Yeah, I would definitely echo much of what Bill has just stated. And just in addition to that, you know, what I'm finding also specifically within the pharmaceutical industry is that whose responsibility is it, you know, for this track and trace? Many of my clients are using, you know, some form of a third-party logistics vendor. And so it's thinking of a solution that marries well with what they may already have implemented, what they have in place, and how our software system may marry well with what they are already using. I'm finding that many of them are thinking of strategies that may already exist, and then just going ahead and pivoting on those strategies and saying, okay, well, this particular logistics vendor that we're currently using has this track and trace solution. How can we then, you know, implement that or marry that with our software so we can get all the data, do all the accurate data collection? But of course, as Bill mentioned, you know, you're still finding that the labor usage that comes along with that is going to be quite substantive. So not really having a fully well thought out strategy implemented and taking into account those third party vendors and saying, okay, well, we have to look at this more globally. And what is it that they're using, or what can we potentially maybe cut out that they're using and have one full suite of solutions that starts from beginning to end, gives us that robust data collection, and is something that we can continue to go ahead and navigate through long term. We can go ahead and make adjustments. We can make the technology more robust should it be needed in the future.
Hmm. Yeah, very insightful. So let's talk a little bit about resistance to automation. In your opinion, what's causing the resistance? And, you know, maybe people are saying, I have a solution, and when their current setup may be causing more problems than it solved, they're really not ready to integrate. What do you think causes that resistance? Shiva, let's stay with you on that one.
Yeah, I think Bill mentioned it earlier, and I think this is a great point, and it speaks volumes for not, I think probably healthcare ranks number one in terms of businesses that are resistant to change. The fear of change is quite a huge thing. It's almost seen as like a luxury within the healthcare within the healthcare vertical. This huge sort of a lion or bear of change is something that many of my clients are just very fearful of. I always like to just, when I'm speaking to clients, really have a real world scenario discussion with them. And I pull COVID out every single time. Excuse me. It seems to be one of those things that just no one was fully prepared for. And no one can be, to be quite honest with you. You know, a global pandemic hits and it's like, okay, well, what do we do now? How do we safeguard our situation? How do we make sure we're prepared for this? But it's not necessarily about anticipating the worst case scenario, which, you know, you can go through a million different fail safes within your system and still not be prepared for the worst case scenario. It's trying to be as prepared as possible. And, you know, to what Bill mentioned earlier is that the clients that are having less time, maybe upgrading an automation or implementing a new type of automation, or maybe looking at different strategies on using their current systems, those tend to be the folks that are easier in implementing change. But a lot of the folks that are just looking at their current, what they have current operationally in place and saying, okay, well, I'm fine here, or I can, you know, rely on my qualified packaging system and you know, look to paper-based systems to do the data capture. They're really failing to look at, okay, well, what can happen here that I'm not thinking of? And it's really those unknown factors, having something in place for those unknown factors, those are really the things that end up saving you the headache and the cost of waste in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Bill, any additional thoughts on resistance?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously that fear of change is huge, right? And I think so many operations, and you know, sometimes it's not just the manufacturers and what they do in their distribution, but when you look at the wholesale distributor network, and then in the, even down to the pharmacy, right? They are sometimes cost, it becomes cost prohibitive to them. Right. They don't want to change. But part of that is they might not have to be able to do the capital investments that like big pharma can do. Right. In terms of like what they do in manufacturing and their distribution network. So they're always, you know, just as much as they're trying to make money, they're trying to have profits. Right. So not only is it how much you bring in, but it's also how much you're spending. So I think that there's a resistance sometimes to add in automation because of that. But I also think a lot of it has to do with just knowledge. Like they haven't seen other operations. They know only what they do, or they've only seen it done a couple ways. And I think as a consultant, what I try to do is, I think part of it is we have to open their eyes to what they could accomplish if they used automation, if they used software that was more conducive to their business processes and what they want to do. Using newer technologies like shipment tracking, and those types of things that we can get more data and they can have better visibility and do more analytics. But I think the biggest thing is like, well, when you haven't done something before, you're oftentimes very hesitant to try something new. So I think that's a big piece of where some of the resistance comes from.
Yeah. So, you know, that's real, right? So how do we overcome that resistance, right? So, you know, as consultants, you know the value of doing temperature checks and authenticity and everything else like that. How do you overcome that? How do you make sure that, you know, whether it's an IT or a business, you know, owner, how do they get the value or the return on investment that they're looking for? Mishiva, why don't you start with that one?
Yeah, I think whenever you're discussing ROI, it's almost an impossible task in this type of venue to really just easily just say here's where you're going to get your return on investment. And I really think it's our job. It's incumbent upon us as consultants to really show them, listen, the immediate is not really what you want to look at. Let's take a look at how you're operationally working overall. Let's take a look at some of the efficiencies that you're using. It's really about analyzing their entire process and showing them where there are missteps or where there are broken pieces within that process. I think once you're having a customer really analyze, okay, how are you doing things from beginning to end? And how can we maximize how you're doing things from beginning to end? It's really looking for the pain points. And I found that sometimes having them just vocalize it, they don't necessarily see it, but having them vocalize it like, oh wow, we really are, you know, overpacking pallets here, or we really are using two systems where we shouldn't be, or I didn't realize I didn't have visibility into, you know, the tracking system on the logistics carrier. So it's really having them vocalize the process, working with them alongside them to see where each step of the process lies and saying, okay, well, what are your thoughts on that and how can we improve that? Or what are you seeing with that actual process and what may be broken with it? Or where are you seeing that you can maximize some efficiencies?
Awesome. Bill, your thoughts on overcoming resistance and guaranteeing ROI, or at least showing it?
I think it's trying to get them to look big picture, right? Because I think that's a big problem. They know their business, they know their lane, but, you know, like, we work with a lot of 3PLs, and the ones that work with pharma customers, you know, they're trying to get more business, right? Because that's the name of the game for them, right? So they need to implement automation systems that have the ability to be flexible and to grow, not just with their expanding businesses that they want to take on with their existing customers and potentially new customers, but also if the regulations change, which, you know, over the last 10 years, how many times have they changed? And they're going to keep changing, right? So you need to have things in place that can be adaptable, can be scalable. And I think that's what you need to sell to them almost, is let's come up with a solution that will let you grow your business or be adaptable to business changes that are going to come along. ROI is hard. In this business, it's hard to sell, you know, and oftentimes there may not be a very big ROI, if any at all. So you really have to sell them on how they can set themselves up for success in the future. And I think sometimes they've gotten caught into that trap of, well, we just need to implement a system and we need to meet the regulations. And now they're finding is, well, with that system I implemented, it's not efficient. I can't handle exceptions the way I need to, which exceptions, from what we're hearing from the industry, is a huge problem when it comes to DSCSA right now. People don't know how to handle exceptions. They don't know how to connect to their downstream business partners. You know, distributors are having a hard time connecting with pharmacy. I mean, goes on and on and on. So, you know, if you get locked into a solution that's, say, kind of rigid, and or in the future, it's going to be very expensive to make changes to that, that's not the best solution. So as consultants, we want them to think back big picture when we want to try to get them into solutions where they can easily pivot as things change, you know, as the years are going to go on.
Awesome. So, you know, Bill, you told me many companies have talked to you confirming that they've implemented, you know, what they consider to be a solution purely to meet DSCSA. And then later on, they're unhappy with those solutions, you know, for the reasons you just spoke about. These systems aren't really solving anything, or they're, you know, just ticking the box of compliance, and they're probably causing friction in other areas of the process. So what I want to know is, what do you believe is the best way to integrate the process of serialized inventory into business processes and reduce the labor associated by using technology or automation specifically to streamline? Or if you feel they're good, better and best approaches out there, right? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think it really, again, it comes down to each customer each organization, what their business is, right? I mean, there's some that are going to be very high volume cases and pallets in and out. There's others that are going to be more, you know, if you like, we work with customers that are in clinical businesses that do, or they do a lot of direct to customer shipments. So those are going to be smaller shipments, you know, and you're going to be handling eaches instead of cases and pallets. So I think that has to be, you know, part of your thinking as to what you want to do in terms of implementing strategies. But I think the ones that implemented early on, those are the ones that are now coming back. They've started to put that into production. The ones that are in production now, they're finding out what all the problems are, right? And the scary part is that there's some people not even in production. So they have this whole unknown piece that they don't even know that they're going to have issues with, right? So the ones that are in production, the ones that are using it and doing a lot of volume testing and those types of things, I think what they're finding is that there are better ways to approach this. And what we've done is that, you know, the ones that very early on maybe implemented a solution, but they really customized their warehouse management system or some other manufacturing system. I think what they find is now maybe they didn't think it through. So now they've got data integrity problems. They've got performance problems in those systems because they didn't think like, oh, serialization is going to add like millions of rows to my database, right? And if you've tied that to your inventory, what is that? So when you come up with a strategy, you really have to think about what I need my warehouse management system or my manufacturing system to do from a transactional standpoint. But then what I want, what I need from a serialization standpoint and how that data works together, and then what types of solutions you're going to build. So not really sure if I answered the question, but I mean, it's a hard game to play. I think that you can implement something, maybe it doesn't work out, but you've invested a lot of money. So, you know, again, it comes back to sometimes when you make a mistake, it's hard to admit you made a mistake and to pivot and go with somebody else. But I think that, you know, what we're trying to work through customers with is to give them a strategy, long-term thinking, you know, something that's viable, that they can make adaptable and can adjust to regulations, change in their business processes, bring in new customers, new business, those types of things.
Yeah. So, Mishiva, do you agree? Are there other considerations or additional considerations that we really should talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with everything Bill mentioned. There's certainly a lot of considerations, and it's really one of those things that is often difficult for a client to realize we made the wrong decision here, or we did not think about the long-term strategy here. I think what tends to happen, or how we can, I don't want to say it completely avoids it, but it can avoid some of these issues, is when we have all the pertinent players in the room. I find that especially within the healthcare vertical, you sometimes are speaking to the safety folks, but not the operations folks, or you're speaking to the operations folks and not the safety folks. And then the room is sort of disjointed in terms of who you're speaking to about the solution. And so when they're implementing a solution, everyone that's involved in the day-to-day logistics hasn't had their say so in what that solution does or the capabilities involved for them. When you don't have everyone's buy-in, that's what tends to cause that sort of series of regrets long-term or in the future, because it's just not marrying well with everyone else's processes. So overall, I think it's very important when we have, or we begin to develop a discussion about, okay, well, what does your serialization process look like right now? And, you know, how does it look against the regulations? What are you looking to change? It's important that we have all the key players in the room. And I'm sure, you know, it doesn't just happen in the first outing or maybe not even the second or third outing, but it's important as you begin the implementation process to ensure that every single one of those key players are invited into the discussion to kind of avoid some of these issues as we move long term. And certainly as you're talking about making systems more robust, as you're talking about making changes within the system, or maybe even you know, the avoidance of having to go the route of completely saying this doesn't work for us at all and having to implement something totally new.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about hardware selection. You know, does hardware selection matters as it compares to software? Is the situation which is more important to have hardware that can easily be repurposed over time as the connected software is adapted or updated, whether changes are needed because the regulations change, business requirements change, or just in time for a refresh for security and functionality purposes? You know, Bill, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so what we've seen is our customers who already had automated solutions, you know, they were with some minimal hardware changes, you know, maybe some new cameras, vision systems to be able to scan barcodes, you know, in particular, like products that have G10s or SG10s barcoded on there that they could easily scan. And then, you know, changing the PLC layer to be able to take that, feed that to your warehouse control system and your serialization system to do the verifications that are needed. You know, just by changing those little things, they were able to implement serialized inventories into their fully automated processes. And now you can have serialized and non-serialized product being picked on the same pick line or in the same area. And that's important because the companies that were like, well, we're going to put all of our serialized product over here, non-serialized over here, and now we have two separate processes. Like, that creates a lot of confusion. That creates a lot of extra work. So those types of hardware improvements and implementing some of those technologies, I think for companies that embraced it, have made, it's been tremendously successful. And I think that's where hardware can be very important. But I think from a software standpoint too, you know, you mentioned technology, right? So there's the business that wants, they want to know like, okay, these are our steps. These are the things we need to do to be successful to verify our products. And IT looks at it and says, that's great, but the solution we implement, we need to be able to upgrade it every year, or we need to be able to do this from a security patch standpoint, because to them, that's what's important, right? So I think it's a give and take in terms of, is it what's more important? And I, going back to the previous question that we had, I think it's important that your business, your IT, your quality, all need to be involved from the get-go. You can't just treat this as an IT project. You can't just treat it as a business improvement project or a quality project. It needs to be all parties on deck and sharing in the input to make sure that what you're implementing, both from a hardware and a software standpoint, meets everybody's requirements, or at least gets as close, you know, as possible, where we can check the box and say, you know, we're good with what we have and what we've built, and that we know that we can make changes in the future and keep everyone happy.
Yeah. Shiva, your thoughts on hardware and software?
Yeah, I would say I'm probably the furthest person from recommending any sort of IT solutions, but what Bill mentioned is just right on point. It's very important that you kind of ensure that those solutions are met in tandem and that it's meeting sort of the requirements of the entire team. And you also want to look at implementing solutions that it's easy for you to upgrade in the future. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know how easy it is to upgrade some of these solutions over time. And I'm sure, you know, some of the IT teams would say, no, don't give us any additional work. But it's important that they look at it as not necessarily additional work, but something that gives us more robust feedback or keeps us, you know, ensuring that we're getting quality data back every single time we're improving these logistics. It's not just, you know, got to meet this checkbox of upgrading the system yearly. So that is certainly something I think is important. And as Bill mentioned, when we're looking at the overall team that's involved in making these decisions, it is an entire team decision to ensure that a lot of these specs are met.
Yeah, fair enough. My next question is then whether technology-related decisions or process changes should be made with DSC DSCSA compliance at the forefront or with business requirements as the priority. If you compromise somewhere, do you keep an MVP for compliance purposes and then throw your resources at other business problems? Or do you feel that even in these decisions or potential outcomes aren't really independent of another, one another anymore? Mashifa, why don't you give us your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's super important. And this has kind of been our overall theme of the day, that we are we're really ensuring that all of our systems run compliant to each other. So as we're keeping all of the regulations of DSCSA at the forefront, we have to ensure that also it's working well with what our operational processes are. So whenever we're looking at any regulatory body, any regulatory agency and kind of rules and regulations that they set forth, we really should be channeling our operational processes and seeing, okay, here's this new regulation, because as Bill mentioned earlier, they're going to change constantly, but we have to ensure that we're adaptable and we're able to change with them, or we have processes in place that really don't hinder us every single time one of these changes are made, and we're not kind of scrambling of what the potential solution can be. We're left flat-footed, or we're pivoting at the last minute, or really deciding on our heels, okay, what can we do? You know, what is the solution to this? I think both have to be looked at adjacently and seeing where we can be the most efficient and ensuring that not only are we meeting regulatory compliance, but it also works well with what we're doing internally with our team. What is our quality team doing in order to meet the regulations that are being set forth here? What is our operational team doing? You know, what is anyone on the IT end doing to go ahead and ensure that all of our checkboxes are met? One of the biggest things that has, been happening recently has been breaches of cybersecurity. And that was something that, from a technology standpoint, we didn't necessarily bring up on the last question. But it's ensuring that in case things like that do happen, that we're ready to prepare for any sort of a breach of our system. We're kind of always looking at what is the next potential threat and ensuring that we're ready for that. So I think DSCSA, along with other regulatory bodies, that's kind of what their job entails. It's looking at what the next potential threat is and ensuring, okay, we're prepared for this. So these regulations are prepared for this. And I think that's what our challenge is when we're going in and consulting with our partners, is saying, okay, well, what do you think is the next big threat to you within the business? What are you facing now as a challenge? And what are you seeing long-term could potentially come from that?
Yeah, awesome. Bill, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in terms of, technology versus business process change, I think that it has to go hand in hand. And I think we've been talking about that, in a number of these questions. I've seen lots of examples where, going back upstream and having them make a simple change to a label and a barcode on that label, and the data that can be captured in that can then be used further on downstream in your distribution processes. So then now I can make things more automated and I can do scans and I have better verification. So like simple changes like that from a technology standpoint can impact how the business processes then can be done downstream. And I think that's important to look at too. And I think that's why we talk about there has to be a collaboration between IT, the business, your suppliers and partners upstream, the manufacturers, whether you're a manufacturer yourself or you're a wholesale distributor. I mean, these are all things that need to be, thought about as you go through this. And, just implementing a system to implement it and check the box, I get it. I understand why some people are doing it, but I think really it's important to think about technology and how you can use that to better improve your processes, better improve your accuracies, you know, look for the pros. Don't always look at the cons of why you're doing this, right? And I think that's the trap that a lot of people fall into, is they just look at, oh, there's so many things extra I have to do with this, versus looking at it as, what are the opportunities here? What are the opportunities for me to make change and to actually improve on my processes while, you know, actually meeting the regulations that I'm being asked to conform to? So I think that, you know, it's a really hard question to say technology or process change. Where do you spend your money? Where do I make changes? But I think you have to look at both sides of it. I think it has to go hand in hand. I think that's the only way really to come up with a good solution.
Yeah. You know, I really learned a lot here, right, as we went through this discussion, you know, from both you, Bill, and Mishiva. You know, a couple of things that kind of stand out. One is the importance of really having that long view, right, so that you don't make a short-term decision that kind of boxes you in the corner. And likewise, making sure that you you get all the stakeholders together so that the decision is made in a more holistic way, and everyone and all the needs are kind of taken into account to make sure that the right system is delivered. You know, I invite both of you to share any final thoughts in terms of, you know, the DSCSA and you know, integration and technology here. So either one of you could start. Jump right in.
I'll go first. Sure. Yes. So again, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you guys today. It's been great. Really appreciate you know, you guys as partners and really getting to, you know, talk to a lot of these points around DSCSA. And I think that, you know, having gone to a number of conferences over the year, talking with manufacturers, distributors, pharmacies, I mean, there's so many different challenges here. And I think that as consultants, as providers of software and hardware solutions, we can do a lot to work with them and educate them on what we've seen and what is available to them. And I think if we do that, that will open up some eyes, open up some opportunities for them. But I think we have to get in front of them, right? We have to talk to them. We really have to be partners. We have to go talk to them and understand, like, what are your struggles? What are your pain points? And use our knowledge and our technologies that we have at our fingertips to help them better, you know, architect a solution that's going to check all the boxes, right? Not just meet DSCSA, but give them better business processes, increase their business, increase their profits, because that's what everyone's looking at, right? That's why we're all in business. So it's important, I think, for us to think about that and, you know, continue to try to find creative solutions using, like I said, everything that we have at our fingertips, and working with our customers to not just meet these regulations, but also to come up and think big picture. I think that's one of the big things we talked about today, is you got to think outside the box. You got to think big picture and not just focus on what I do today. Think about what you're going to do in the future.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would just, you know, run with that last statement that Bill just made, is to think big picture, is to think long term, is to think, you know, what is our, not just our strategy today, but 5 years from now. The reality is that these regulations are never going to stop coming and they're never going to stop changing. But it's also, you know, allowing yourself to be prepared for what may they say next. You know, I see what direction that they're going in here. I see what the environment is currently bringing. So let me just ensure that I am prepared even before they do, you know, make that regulatory change. And, you know, just to what Bill mentioned as well, is that, you know, invite us into your, you know, into your operational processes. Let us take a look. It's always important when you have a business, is to have that naked impression, sort of, that person that doesn't work there from a day to day, for them to give you their viewpoint, use their eyes as a person that's not a usual you know, a person that's there on a daily basis and give you their advice and feedback. And that's what we're there to do as consultants.
Yeah. Shiva, Bill, thank you so much. I think this was a great session. I want to thank anyone who's out there listening to this and listening to the end. We hope that you've gotten a lot out of this discussion, and we look forward to seeing you in a future podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.